Welcome to Anchored in the Word.
But now they want to get a man in there. They want a commander in chief. I need somebody to look at. Somebody that looks good in a chariot, you know. And by the way, Saul's going to be the king. God's going to give him this tall, dark, and handsome guy, this, you know, to be their king. But why would you reject God's fighting your battles? Why would you want somebody else to fight your battles for you when God was fighting their battles previously? Because they lost the conscious awareness of God's presence. They weren't in his presence. They were too busy doing what they were doing. They're in their prosperity, looking for a better way.
But I'm anchored deep in your clean love. I'm anchored deep in who you are. I'm anchored deep in holy word. I'm anchored deep.
This is Anchored in the Word, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Coastlands, in Eatontown, New Jersey, with our pastor and teacher, Bill Beckelman.
Charismatic, charming people are often the most successful politicians. People are drawn to others who make them feel good and offer a reassuring message. Be wary, because that charm can often mask a hidden agenda. Only the Lord offers a transparent truth, with a motive to bring people to salvation, hope, and eternity with Him. At the close of Pastor Bill's message, I'll be sharing with you how you can get a copy of today's broadcast of Anchored in the Word. Subscribe to the podcast or simply get in touch with us. But for now, please, open your Bibles to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 6, as we join Pastor Bill.
What he did, being a judge, is he would seek the Lord, hear from God. God would speak to him, and he'd go back to the nation and say, this is what God said. This is what we need to do. It wasn't like he was running the show. He could go and speak to the Lord, and the Lord would speak to him, and he would move the nation that way, and it wasn't good enough. He gave his whole life for this. And so he says, hey, give us the king to judge us. So you can imagine, he felt a little rejected at that point, a little hurt maybe by the nation. But look what Samuel did when he was rejected. At this point of rejection, look what he did. Why, you guys, I'll show you a qualified. No, he didn't do any of that. It said, Samuel prayed to the Lord. There's a novel idea. Yeah, before he said anything, before he defended his judgeship, before he had to get out his record, look at my long record, look at how many mistakes I've made, or haven't made, or called them for what they were. You rebellious nation! This is wise. This is wisdom. I'll tell you what. The older you get, for those of you that are older here, you get wisdom with that. That's what the Bible says. Don't despise old people. I mean, even people that don't know the Lord gather wisdom in life just by living, but even more so if they're in Christ. And the devil plays a good trick on us when he tries to get us to neglect and get rid of our old people. Boy, that's a good trick, isn't it? Get rid of all the wisdom out of the world. You know, they've seen all the stuff. They've seen. They've got a track record. They can look at the world for the last 60, 70, 80 years and see the changes and see what's happened as a result of, I'm thinking about our nation now, of turning from God. Those of you that are 25, 30 years old, you can't see that. But if you've lived longer than 40, 50, 60 years, you see that there is a change. And wisdom comes with age. The Bible talks about that. That's a result of gray hair and maybe even no hair. I don't know what it says about no hair, but wisdom. And so what does Samuel do? The godly man, the old godly man, before he says anything, he prays to the Lord. Man, I want to be more like that. And the Lord said, you see, when he prayed, he expected God to speak. It wasn't just a time of laundry list unloading and kind of like just kind of shooting, spraying them out there and hoping something sticks or whatever. He expected God to speak to him when he prayed. And the Lord said to Samuel, and maybe this was, have you ever prayed before and gotten a surprise answer? Maybe this was a surprise to Samuel when he got it. He says, the Lord says, heed the voice of the people and all that they say to you. What? I mean, Samuel's really against this idea of them having a king. But the Lord says, heed it. In other words, do what the people say in all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. Now, that's pretty much the case, by the way, of most of the world. I mean, the road to life, Jesus said it, it's a narrow path and few find it. That means that there's only a few people who have decided that I want the Lord to rule over me. There's only a few compared to the whole. And Jesus said that wide is the path to destruction and many go in through it. Few and many. Wide many, narrow few. Because the people, they don't want to be ruled over. I don't want God governing me. And by the way, hell is going to be full of those people. There's no God there. He's not going to. They're going to have their self-government there. All those people that push God away for their whole life, they're going to find themselves in that place, and they're going to get their wish. They will have perished, as the Bible says, and that's a sad thing, and that's not God's heart for them. I think you have to work hard at it. As we get into the book of Romans, especially chapter 1, you see that you got to work hard, really, at pushing God away. But he says, heed the voice of the people in all that they say for you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. And when I think of this rejection, you think of, maybe you've been rejected once or twice, or maybe more than that in your life. You know, maybe a parent took off and left you, and you know, you never knew your dad, or you never knew your mom, or whatever. And that's a form of rejection. You know, your dad takes off before you know him. I mean, that's rejection. What he had going on was more important than you. That's what he said by that. But know this, that the Lord also says that even though your mother and your father will leave you, I will never forsake you. He's the best father. And when I think of this idea of rejection, I can't help but think of Jesus. You talk about being rejected. I mean, he came to the Jewish nation first to tell them about salvation. In the Old Testament, everything pointed to Jesus, that he was going to come, he was going to suffer. He comes and they reject him. He came to his own and his own knew him not. They didn't want to know him. They wanted to kill him. I mean, that's the ultimate rejection, right? Somebody trying to kill you. That's pretty much rejection too. The ultimate. But Jesus never did anything wrong. He never sinned against anyone. But they rejected him. And by the way, if you follow Jesus, if you walk that narrow path, I want to tell you something tonight. That you're going to face rejection in different ways, at different times. And that doesn't mean just because you're going to suffer rejection for righteousness' sake. It doesn't mean it doesn't hurt. It doesn't mean it's not it's comfortable. But here's what the promise is. You're blessed when you are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Jesus said that. Sermon on the Mount. When you are persecuted for righteousness' sake. In other words, for walking with Jesus. And you will suffer persecution. So the Lord was being rejected. The God that did all for this nation. The God that always heard them when they cried out to him, even though they turned from him time after time after time. And here they are again after this last chapter having a revival. We want a king now! Verse 8. According to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt, even to this day, with which they have forsaken me and served other gods, so they are doing to you also. And he's getting a little feeling, by the way, of what God feels like. I want you to know something about God. You know, we think he's awesome, right? Because he created the universe. I mean, here's a being, a supernatural being, that when he talks, when he speaks, universes come into being. If he's, you know, just by talking, let there be light. I mean, can you think about how powerful that kind of a God he is? But yet, he has feelings. You know what it feels like? You know, everybody, if I ask for a show of hands, and I'm not going to do that, but I bet you everybody in this room has been rejected in one way or another sometime in their life. Now, even if it wasn't for righteousness' sake, I think we can acquainted with that feeling, aren't we? I mean, I think we have. probably most of us more than once. But I want you to know something, that God has feelings. He does. God is grieved. The Holy Spirit is grieved. The Holy Spirit of God gets grieved. When Jesus cried over Jerusalem, he was weeping. Not just, it wasn't all about him. It was that he had something for them and they didn't want to hear about it. And he was crying over their condition. But God has feelings. I think we think, oh, he's this big God, and he's like a rock. He doesn't ever feel that way. Of course he does. Where do you think we get feelings from? We're made in the image of God. Those things that we experience, he can experience. Or they come from love. I mean, that's really what rejection is, I think. You know, the ultimate unlovingness. Somebody's not being loving to you in a big way. But it comes from God. Verse 9. So God is trying to come alongside of Samuel and tell him, look, this is what it feels like to be rejected. I've been feeling it since the beginning. Verse 9. Now therefore heed their voice. However, you shall solemnly forewarn them and show them the behavior of the king who will reign over them. So God's going to give them their way, but with leanness of soul. See, this is where this idea of being a free will agent, so to speak, you having your free will, and there's God's sovereignty. See, for God to rule over you, and that's the best place to be, by the way, having him ruling over you, it's a place of submission where you submit to his leadership, to his lordship. But now God, in his love, is going to tell them, look, this is what's going to happen if you turn. And by the way, this book we have before us is full of warnings. It's full of warnings of don't go there. Don't go over there, because the day that you do, you will surely die. You know, don't go there. Every warning that we get from God is because he loves us and he wants to protect us. And he wants us to keep us close to him. So he says, you shall forewarn them and show them the behavior of the king who will reign over them. Now, so what they're basically saying, modern day vernacular, we want big government. We want a king over us. We don't want to be ruled by God. We want somebody we can look at, somebody that looks good, tall, dark, and handsome. Verse 10 says, so Samuel told all the words of the Lord to the people who asked him for a king. And by the way, verse 10 tells us that is exactly what Samuel did when he judged Israel. He prayed, he sought the will of the Lord, and then he told them, it says, very important, all the words of the Lord to the people who asked him for a king. In other words, that's what Samuel did when he judged. He sought the Lord, and then he let the people know what God was saying. And verse 11 says, and he said, this will be the behavior of the king who will reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for his own chariots to be his horsemen. And some will run before his chariots. And this is the beginning. This is the beginning of big government. You need more people to run this thing. Verse 12 says, he will appoint captains over his thousands and captains over his fifties, will set some to plow his ground and reap his harvest, and some to make his weapons of war and equipment for his chariots. Government procurement. He will take your daughters to be perfumers, cooks, and bakers. You know, somebody told me that I've read this somewhere, that we're hiring 600,000 people in the government. And did anybody read that? Within the next couple of years, it was 600,000. You can't believe everything you read in the news, but I read that and I thought, wow, times aren't that hard. You know, we need more government employees. But verse 14, and he will take the best of your fields. Make the note of that. He will take the best of your fields. And you think of these people that are fighting against eminent domain. You know, when the government sees them, well, we'll just take that from you. Yeah, we have private property, but we've got a better idea for this private property. We'll put a hotel up here or something. But he will take the best of your fields, your vineyards, and your olive groves, and give them to his servants. He will take a tenth of your grain and your vintage and give it to his officers and servants. Well, taxes are going to go up. Well, of course, reality, you know, when a king comes on the scene, he has a big, he's got a big entourage. And if you read about how much it took to, it's in the Bible somewhere about how much Solomon had to feed his, it was unbelievable, the staff that he had and how much it took to feed his staff. He was a king that came along later, but taxes, but they only paid 10%. Taxes were pretty low at the beginning. Remember, this is the beginning of the government. It's going to grow. Verse 16. And he will take your male servants, your female servants, your finest young men, and your donkeys, and put them to his work. He will take a tenth of your sheep, and you will be his servants. And you will cry out in that day because of your king whom you have chosen for yourselves. And the Lord will not hear you in that day. That's a scary thought. And the Lord will not hear you in that day. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel. When you get to this point where you've got this bee in your bonnet, so to speak, and you're thinking, I know what I want. This is what we want. We're a united voice now. We want this. We want a change. We don't want what we had before. We want something better. We want what the rest of the people around us have. And so they think that, and it looks good. And I believe in their hearts at that point, they really thought that was a better way to govern. But the problem is, whenever you push away from God, when you're turning from Him, that's what they were doing. It's never a better way to go. They wanted a king over them. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel. No, they said, but we will have a king over us. And we also may be like all the nations, that we may also be like all the nations, that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles for us. Now, I want to think about that idea for a minute. So the people thought now, look what they're thinking. Who fought their battles for them up until this point? I mean, when they won the battles, when they were on the right side, when they were thinking right, when their hearts were right, who fought their battles for them? The Lord did. But now they want to get a man in there, they want a commander-in-chief. I need somebody to look at, somebody that looks good in a chariot, you know. And by the way, Saul's going to be the king. God's going to give him this tall, dark, and handsome guy, this, you know, to be their king. But why would you reject God's fighting your battles? Why would you want somebody else to fight your battles for you when God was fighting their battles previously? Because they lost a conscious awareness of God's presence. They weren't in His presence. They were too busy doing what they were doing in their prosperity, looking for a better way than Yahweh. And Samuel, verse 21, heard all the words of the people, and he repeated them in the hearing of the Lord. He went back to the Lord and just sat before Him and told Him, heard all the words of the people, and he repeated them in the hearing of the Lord. So the Lord said to Samuel, heed their voice and make them a king. And Samuel said to the men of Israel, every man go to his city. And we're going to end there. And next, we're going to see that God's going to give them a king. He's going to give them what they wanted with leanness of soul. Saul, the first king, started off well. He started off as a humble man, but he got prideful pretty quick. And so Israel now is going to get what they want. They don't want to be under God's hand. They wanted something better. They wanted what the rest of the world had. They needed a change. And they insulted the Lord, really. And it's amazing, really, that God just stays there and He takes insult after insult after insult. It's like man holding up his fist to God and, I'll show you, you're not going to govern me. There is no God. When you say that there is no God, the Bible says you're a fool, but it's a downward spiral, and you get to that place, and when God turns you over, it's a sad place to be. And so they wanted a king. I think we need to ask ourselves the question as we end this study. With this idea of, you know, if you're born again, what you basically said when you asked Christ into your heart, you said that, you asked Him, you said, I'm not going to keep doing the things the way I've been doing them. I'm going to turn from that way now, my way of doing things, me being the king, me being on the throne, and I want you on the throne of my heart. I want to follow you. I want you to lord over me. That's what you say when you come to Christ. And part of that is his word, obedience to his word, always the best place to be, under his covering. Now, so the question for us tonight is, really, how's that going in your life? I mean, how submitted are you to Christ? Are you submitted? Well, I gave my heart to the Lord. I prayed that prayer and everything. Okay, good. Are there areas of your life that you're still holding on to? You're saying, oh, I don't want, you know, I want to keep doing it like the nations around me. You know, I'm a Christian, but I'm going to keep doing this and that and the other. I think God's calling us tonight to a place, even we talked about last week, the idea of repentance, of turning from that thing of saying, Lord, I don't like the way you're lording over me. I'm not comfortable with this. Because he does all things well. Instead, surrendering to his lordship, to his hand, and just saying, yes, Lord. Those are the only two words that really should say, you know, not so, Lord. It's yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Because he's doing all things well. And so tonight, maybe there's an area of your life, there's an area of our lives where the Lord wants us to surrender, to give it over to him, to his lordship, he is our king. He is the king of this kingdom. You know, when you talk about God's kingdom, he's the king of kings. There is a king in this kingdom. Now, when Jesus sets up his government on earth, and I believe it's going to be a literal reign from Jerusalem, he's going to come back to the second coming when he sits down there and the Mount of Olives is going to split in half. By the way, I'm believing I'm going to be on a white horse at that time. I'm going to come right behind him, and he's going to set up his government, and it's not going to be big. I mean, it's going to be a large government. There's going to be a lot of people involved, the saints, but it's going to be run righteously. No more whistleblowers needed in that government. You know what a whistleblower is? I think of the government when I think of that. You know, somebody that's, I got to tell on you. You know, but, you know, they blow the whistle on what's going on because things are corrupt. That's what a whistleblower is. But you won't need one in that government because there won't be any corruption. But we're not there yet. That isn't time yet. We're here. And so we need his lordship, his kingship over us. So tonight, if you've been struggling in an area, I think the Lord's saying tonight, okay, I'm not asking you to fix yourself. I'm just asking you to say yes, Lord, tonight. That's all. To lay it down and say yes, Lord. I'm not going to fight against you anymore. I'm just going to lay it down.
In today's message from Samuel, we heard a lot about rejection. The rejection of Samuel, as the people demanded a king, to the rejection of Jesus and his followers. Abiding in the Word is not an easy road to walk on. The flesh fights us at every turn. But as we heard, being obedient means we're under his covering and is by far the best place to be. Seeking what the world offers is a trap because in the end, it yields nothing.
For more information about Anchored in the Word, visit our website at anchoredintheword.com. That's anchoredintheword.com. When you log on, select the broadcast option from the main menu to learn how you can receive a copy of today's message. Now, we want to let you know that the doors at Calvary Chapel are always open for you and your family to join us for one of our worship services. We meet each Thursday evening for an in-depth Bible study at 7:30 p.m. And Sunday mornings, you can join us at 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. Feel free to give us a call at 732-544-2225 if you have any questions. Again, that number is 732-544-2225.
Place a marker in your Bibles and join us next time here on Anchored in the Word when the Lord reveals a man to Samuel who will be Israel's king. Saul will be out searching for his father's donkeys, and during an appointed time, he will meet a man of God and learn about his appointment to be the king of Israel. Saul will wonder why he would be chosen, but the will of God, although not his plan, will be revealed to men. We've run out of time today, but we do encourage you to tune in next time as Pastor Bill will continue sharing with us from the book of 1 Samuel. That's next time on Anchored in the Word.